Thank you. see the next person. They were nice people. They loved us. We liked them, but they were gentle to them. So nice that year after year, we got together with some of the athletes, enjoyed each other's company. We ate together. We had services together. But we weren't really in person between us. That bothered us. We talked about it. We studied. We went through the whole course by it. We went by it. We didn't get really bothered by it. About experiencing God and learning how to join God in what he's doing rather than us making fun of the actions on the block that we do. We decided that we would see if we could go to the local mall and hold some services in the mall on the side of the street. But that came to be because I began going down to do some Bible study at the mall at one of the local little cafes at the back of it. And the first time I met a guy there to do a Bible study with him, and the first time I didn't know that was there, I've never heard it between them. The next week, there were four of us because two more people wanted to be there. We didn't sit there, so we went down to the food cart in the mall. And so, one day, when the Bible study happened, we get people out of work. This was a scare time at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning. And most people aren't really available at that time of night. It's on Thursday. One day, there were 27 of us there studying the Bible in the mall. And the security guard came over and he said, well, this is really accurate for you guys. It's so big. We have a conference room. That's for the room that's for the management of the mall. We can help you to let you use that room for yourself. And I didn't have a time. I left there and looked around and said, we can do church here tomorrow. So then we began having our regular church service on Southdale, and then we would pack up a whole bunch of equipment and stuff. We'd go over to the mall, and we'd set up and we'd do church. But one city of the room where we had about 90, and I remember one day we had over 120 people at that time. But the mall was one church. But it means something to us that it's changing the way we saw how I know. So we didn't have to get us to transfer any notes. I think more than the rest of the people we were out there trying to reach at that point. So that got us to the point where we had said, God, you know, we want to see our calling of God wherever you go. When the time that is given, we're going to pick up our grace and we're going to go. So we did that thing that would just make your nerves run. So we decided in a business meeting to sell the church project and to move. Now, the thing is that my father-in-law was the founder of that church. He put much of his money and his labor and his efforts and all of that heart and soul into that church, and now here comes the son-in-law. He's going to endeavor on the screen to see if God is going to do something by not putting up this property to sell. We've got to trust him. But when we were reading here, I was like, this is the name of Jesus, because your faith will grow. And so, close to the age, got closer and closer to the idea that we want to spend our time at home and whether it was home for him. And we were both excited because we were about ready to learn something that God announced that we didn't even know what we were going to go do. We didn't know where we were going to go, except for that we knew we needed to go where there were certain people. We needed to go where there were more people that did not have a Christian background. So, we signed the papers and handed over the keys to our family after our last trip. We had no place to meet the next Saturday. We had nothing set. We had no contract. We had no place to live. One day, I received a phone call out of the blue. They were like, I don't know if I know him. Then they learned that he was a wonderful Jewish man. And he said, I want you to come down to this contrast. And it was a real very for they had one working call that had no heat. And it was October, 3 years ago. And he says, I want the contract for a man that has promised to leave that he is going to put in $75,000 into his endeavor out of his pocket. To improve it, because they went from here and had 15 minutes from this point to call me every extra deal to death. And so we continued talking and all that 15 minutes went by the little keys. He holds up the keys to the place we have no contact. You know, we have to go through a whole thing with the contact process. There's a whole process. Even though I just met with the keys to me, he said, it's yours. We'll work out the details, but you can use it now. So it wasn't what we had dreamed of. We had visions of like a 20,000 square foot place with lots of room in our house. We had this invisible, but we thought we needed for ministry. And he gave us this little place. The whole front of it on the street was minimal from floor to ceiling. So whatever we did in there, we were not fit for. So we said, I want to send you down to my architect, and then I'll be calling what we want to use inside this place, and I'm going to fix it. And then we said, well, since you're going to have to get this with inconvenience, all this construction is happening, I'm going to not charge you any rent. And so it went with this relationship with this community. And I was opening up the door, and then we began to get together, and we would study the Bible during the week. On Sunday mornings, on Mondays, we were there, Tuesdays, we were there. And as we would sit there, people would begin to walk in because they didn't know where it was. We didn't have a sign on the front, we were spending in the house for over a year. We took the sign up just before we actually moved to a new location. By the way, the chief got mad when I was going to sign this. He was on vacation in Hawaii and he said, hey, Dale, I'm calling you. I said, I'm just calling you while you're on vacation. And he said, well, I learned that there's really good deal on the front now. About a phrase, if you can go into a second. He began to think that we were joining God in something, because God was the one that was doing it. And so we made the declaration, we will serve and love and invite whoever walks through these doors. Whatever form they come in, whatever smell, whatever is going on in my life. And we begin to share with them. know this fucking man. He screamed in my face about how much he hated me. And I said, don't put this in a proper introduction. I don't know what to do. He's all good for me. I said, here he is. I said, well, you know, you've got the closest seat in the house. Your wife is staying out where you are. I'm going to get back close to her. He took off the machine bottle, but he stayed up for a while longer, and then he turned with a real angry face and went back to the back. And some of our leaders would come up to me, and I didn't know what they were doing, but they had gone and got an empty seat where they put him in their car and then got his knees sticking through. 2 weeks later, we did a lot of praying in the church. We did a lot of special prayer. We took out to many things. We saw one that was homeless with a broken arm and couldn't heal the distance. That can do terribly more than what we should ever do. So we are having a special prayer. One of the guys that was homeless when we met, the common house was homeless. Really, all of the people that have been baptized that are homeless, we call them our evangelists. Because the legacy of the ministry is to get folks into their gratitude to God. And they're grateful and they realize that they can turn into a church that the difference between being able to have a church go out and give them a sandwich, which is good. But just the place they find the very church that came and gave them a sandwich would not let them use that as a church. And so this is a unique experience for them that they were not only invited, but they were wanted. And he comes back in, just standing up there, after time, if you will. He sees it and he speaks. He sees the sandwich. And he sees all over him. And he begins to talk about the challenges he made of living with his parents when he was young and how he went off the rails and he had substance to control of him and his anger and his sorrow over all of that. And then he ended with a gospel presentation and a call to follow Jesus. And if any love had been big enough to the people that would give him the help he needed to overcome his addiction, then he was successful. Not unsuccessful in that. Today, at least 50%, if not more, of our basic members are still homeless. So we're in that little place where we have a park downtown where there's a lot of riding coming. We have people coming to church right after they've been stabbed. We have people coming after they've been severely assaulted. They show up at church. And even a lot of the people that assaulted them and the woman that assaulted them deserve because we knew the power of God. And that we would not want to miss it. Because we know who we are. We want to be with them. So there's so much fire, so much going on, there's so many bad things. There was assault activity that was going on, there were people who were injecting themselves with blood. And this baby pastor got this weird inspiration that we need to start going down to the church every week and go in the middle of that and pray. Before we went down there and was so grateful, just thinking of people sitting around the table, people from a smoker out there, not smoking. Just all this stuff going on. A little different than a typical flashlight situation. I spoke about while we were there, and some of our members just by the power of God, it was amazing watching them appear there praying and Christ their party in proximity to some of our members slowly walk over into the crowd with some of them just sit there and observe them. Others ever stand there. They walk them into the middle of the presence of God as well, just right to them because the people were like, what is this? He comes and walks in between people that are trying to assault each other. We were not preparing for this kind of ministry. We didn't train in this work. I'm a conservative soldier. I grew up a set of Catholics. I grew up in a home where my dad was so protective. We lived in a Catholic community where I didn't even know there was anything but Catholics in the world. And my dad, the one time I got to go to the church, I remember him saying, be careful, Dad, we're going to knock you in the mud and stick right to you. You know, I mean, with this environment of one life, we get outside of our little world, it is really, really dangerous. We weren't prepared for any of this, just for the record. We can go to some college and learn how to do intense street ministry. But we really understand there and I'm doing this thing on the street. So we went down and we did one of the ends of this camp of about 80 people. I went down and I wanted to find out who the children were for it. We learned who it was. We walked out with a stranger. Turned out he was part of the Puerto Rican Mafia. His girlfriend was part of the Hells Angels. They all turned around and said, "The God of me was in the temple." I'm going to go to the house. 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 I'm going said, I want to blame it on everyone else for that. He said, hey, that's not going to help you. It's not going to help with everyone else either. So, how about we put those houses down and let's talk about this. We get together more later too, but it gives us different rooms that we have left to what we do. So, go back and that pastor said, great. What did you do? And I said, I know it's wrong. And then, not just that rain that's littering the side of a road, and the river starts to run. It's a child of God, wounded because of the grace of God. You know, when I was a professor, I thought we were going to go minister to others, and I had to minister to them. They had to be really more than I had to minister. So, I was going to think, that was what I did. but the water came out of the building, and one day that building was being 100% removed. He was in there and off for that purpose. So the Lord of our elders takes us in the middle of the night, and God says, I want you to give a place for women, because we are tired of this room and tired of stories about how they have been assaulted and have been harmed in every way imaginable. Day in and day out, they come to church. Women would come running down to sit in front of the church and say, I want to take them where I was just violated. Can I just be here? Take the grocery, let's take them. A woman that ends up on the street for just 24 hours would be violated. So, one of our elders, he says, no, right, he's supposed to be faithfully, and God wants us to open it. Well, we belong to the Sunday morning church, and I was thinking that's impossible because of this night when I'm married to the director. And all the legal parts and all the things that have been done for the whole hour, it just doesn't work like that. Too many things that are written. And I told this elder, he told me, he said, I know this is from God, I know where to open a woman's stuff, and I just know it, and I said, I'm believing it. Just talk about what God has told you and let God do it. And it wasn't very long that the director invited this elder to go and talk about the dream that God was given. And 5 minutes into it, he looked at the treasurer of United Way and he goes, we're going to make this happen. And so then the partnership came where they would take the liability and the funding, and it would be our ministry that was pouring into it. And we were rich people to them for a dollar a month. Things haven't heard of this decision, but we did have a political thing. The mayor was in hot water, and he heard about what we were doing, and he knew he needed something that would make him look good. And so he personally signed off on us opening up the little stuff before our building was rebuilt according to all of the legal terms and fees being processed. He personally signed off on it and said, you got to make this thing. And now we've seen the major lending community. Three different districts, we watched them get into housing. There's a woman that one of our elders, when they see a little trail somewhere in town, says it's near, they follow it out into the bushes because they might meet somebody who needs to come on a second go through the bus carry riders, and they find this woman on the moon, living over her husband who has severe medical issues also, and it turns out this little foot in this tip of the bus carry rider needs to serve as protection. We were able to get her to a doctor at the rate to see that she might be able to see that she was very sound. She sees that. She gets to see those that she thinks of knowing in her years. Prayer in our heart. We share the abundance of God. And go back to the scriptures. In our Bible study, we stumbled across the sons of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Jacob 16, he writes about this. He says that Sodom and Gomorrah are a church of ourselves in Christ. And then bless me, just let me conclude that blessing all things comes from creating yourself in Christ. And in that connected lifestyle going towards God, see God held against them and said, this is not character before I am in. That's what he's teaching how to teach you all this. And he read the story about Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven. He said, I was hungry, you fed me, and I was and so forth, and there was like three of those things. We don't remember any doing that, and so when we did it, then we did it. And then there was that other part of the story that we went to get it ended, but there's those other ones that the believer saw what he was going to do. I'm aware of that because they were meant to do stuff. And the Hebrew word, everything, literally means to be done for itself, to be served. David said we are conceived in iniquity. We are conceived to take care of ourselves. This is why to have gratitude takes us away from self, gives us great gratitude for ministry. Because now we leave with love and compassion without worrying about whether we're in trouble. I go into a bar and minister to people without the fear of God. I saw the pastor over there, you know. Not going in there for drink, I go in there because there's someone hurting me. Maybe things happened in the past. There was a need for it. People just fall on the wall or something like that. They just feel the wall is still down. The letter is very telling her about spiritual worship and he loves and follows things for their life. One example. So that child is okay, I don't do it. You don't do it. I don't care for you to follow our example. I do it for the glory of God. And encourage you to do it God has to do it. Whatever that is. Join me in what you do. God is making plans. And that's what you have to do. What you're planning to do. If I'm not teaching you for an hour, I'll be very careful with the things of it. And I can write you a book, so thank you. We thank you that in this spiritual ministry that you really don't need us if you want us to be involved. But you feel us to be involved, knowing that we could do a better job before we follow your example. We're not even good at it, we're not qualified, no matter what it is that we've done. But we trust you that by your power, by your spirit, by your goodness, by your spirit and the things that make strength and living water. That by that, you can not only transform us, but you can transform those around us from that simple experience that love and Savior has placed in front of us. I think so much of the form of covenant scripture. I don't know those truths. I don't know all the things that are going on in there are all the dreams of your daughters and your children must be great on their hands, but I just ask that you would make it crystal clear. And if you would find a place in this, like Paul said, that he was talking about sharing with God again, and he said, well, even if I don't, I'm compelled. I can't keep it in my heart. I have to do the work. Bring down that rich blessing.